on today's Run to the Top podcast.
If your body wants to make muscle today, it needs all those nine ingredients, all those nine essential amino acids, and it needs them all together in the same amount at the same time in order to be useful.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome, this is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's podcast, we'll be talking with Dr. Art Zemek with Tailwind Nutrition. If you, like so many of us, have had gut issues during training and racing, we plan to get some insight into how to solve this common and unpleasant problem. The longer you are out there, the more important it is to have the right nourishment, and also essential to use that window of time right after a hard workout or race to replenish our bodies. We're going to learn about some high-tech details that can fine-tune you for optimal performance and quick recovery. Welcome to Run to the Top, Dr. Art Zemek.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for being here. Would you please tell our audience a little bit about you and the route you traveled to get involved in running nutrition?
Sure. I'm a pediatrician, kids doctor, and a kayak racer and endurance athlete. I have always enjoyed outdoor sports. I've competed in Ironman Switzerland, Imogene Pass Run, Leadville Trail, 100-mile mountain bike race, Pan Am Canoe Slalom Championships. And I've always been interested in nutrition, both from a medical standpoint and from a sports standpoint.
Talk to me just slightly about this Switzerland try that you did. Where did you actually do your swimming?
The swim for Ironman Switzerland is in Lake Zurich.
Lake Zurich. Is that in Zurich?
It's in Zurich, yes.
Oh, okay. Was the water cold?
It was just cold enough to allow us to wear wetsuits, which was wonderful for me because I wasn't a swimmer in high school, and when I wanted to do an Ironman, I had to add swimming to my biking and running. And if you know a lot about swimming, then you know that the non-natural swimmers like myself, we just love the swims where you can use a swimming wetsuit.
Indeed.
Yeah, it evens out the playing field just a little bit.
Gives you some buoyancy. I remember I was in a triathlon where it was very warm lake water, but one of the women was allowed to wear a wetsuit because it was a basic triathlon, and she couldn't swim confidently without a wetsuit, so it helped her tremendously. So, yeah. Well, congratulations for doing an Ironman. That's no small accomplishment. Let's start with our four basic questions. How old are you now? Where were you born? What town or city do you currently live in? And what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
Well, I'm 56 years old. I was born in Oakland, California.
Well, same as me.
Good choice. And for the past 20 years, I've lived in Durango, Colorado.
What took you to Durango, Colorado?
It was my first job in pediatrics after residency. And I'd always had my eye on Durango because it's a great place to practice pediatrics. It's a nice small town size. And I love whitewater kayak racing. It's a great place to do that sport. And it has wonderful trails.
Good combination. So what is your favorite race distance or type of race?
I like anything that's a trail run. Could be a 4-mile race, could be a trail marathon. Currently, I'm getting ready for the Imogene Pass Run, which is a 17-mile trail race from the mountain towns of Ouray to over a 13,000 foot pass to the town of Telluride.
How long have you been trail running?
Wow. I guess most of my life, 20, 30 years.
Really? Wow. So are you one of the founders of the company Tailwind? And I know we didn't talk about Tailwind Nutrition very much at this point. So tell us a little bit about the company and also your involvement in it.
Sure. The founders of Tailwind are Jeff and Jenny Vierling. Jeff is a friend of mine who is a mountain bike racer, and he has done the Leadville 100 mountain bike race 10 plus times. And he founded Tailwind Nutrition because he embarked on his own quest to find a sports drink that he could use for that long event that didn't bother his gut.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a interesting little video of him in his first Leadville. I think his wife filmed him throwing up after the race because he was having trouble tolerating one of the sports drinks he was using. And he began experimenting with his own sports drinks, mixing them in his kitchen because he had a hard time finding one that he could tolerate.
Mm.
He has a soy allergy. He doesn't tolerate cow's milk products well. And the result was Tailwind's, at that time, one and only product. It's just called Tailwind. It's their endurance fuel. Ultra runners love it. Cyclists love it. And it's a really good tasting, all natural, vegan, very well tolerated sports drink.
And then it moved into Tailwind Nutrition, moved into more products, which would be a logical progression. So talk about how you got involved in the company. I know there was a need for an endurance product that was like a recovery kind of product as the company Tailwind Nutrition evolved. And Jeff asked you to help out with developing that recovery product. Is that how that came together?
Yes, that's correct. Jeff and I have been biking and running buddies for a long time. And when Tailwind was ready to add a recovery product to their line, Jeff asked me if I would do the scientific development for it.
What is your background that would help with something like that? Obviously, you had some connection with the nutrition and the science part of it.
Well, I've been a pediatrician for about 20 years, and from a medical science standpoint, I spent a lot of time thinking about what it is that keeps people healthy and out of the hospital, or how you would fix them when their bodies are under stress to get them out of the hospital. When I was training for Ironman Switzerland, I looked into the science of sports drinks and developed my own. Unlike Jeff, I had never started a company and made the products, but for a number of years, I made my own sports drinks and thought about what kind of electrolytes really need to be in a sports drink and what kind of carbohydrate.
I want to talk about that more later too, electrolytes, because that's a general term, but there are certain ones and certain combinations and certain percentages that I'd really like to go into more detail with you on after you go more into how you got involved in this product in general.
Sure. For Tailwind Rebuild, after I agreed to help Jeff with this product, I took a look at the industry. There's some 10 other recovery drink products out there. And ultimately, I spent a lot more time thinking about what a sports recovery product should look at from a medical science standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of designed the recovery drink. I guess it's fair to say I looked at it from the standpoint, I just said, what would a doctor do? You know, from a medical science standpoint, what should really be in a recovery drink?
Right.
And went back to the sports medicine literature and the medical literature and my experience taking care of patients. And that's how we designed Tailwind Rebuild. So I think we may have come at it from a different angle than a traditional sports drink.
I think it's really important too to be involved in the endurance aspect of it as well as the science aspect of it, so that you understand what it feels like to have a product that isn't working versus a product that is working. What kind of testing did you do, and how long was the product in? It's relatively new, right?
Yeah, Tailwind Rebuild has been out for about 2 months.
Oh, okay.
So it's a very new product. Mm-hmm. It's doing quite well. There's so much demand for it. The production guys can't keep up with it. So I guess that's a nice problem to have.
Indeed.
Took Jeff and I about year and a half to get the product made, you know, that includes all of the, I mean, for me, it started with a lot of literature research and basic science, and there's the whole design process and then testing. And we spent a lot of time once we'd worked the science out trying to make it taste good. And I think that's one of its strengths, is that it is a really good tasting drink. And we're especially proud of that because it's 100% vegan.
Wow.
And to make a vegan sports drink taste good, we put some time and effort into that.
I bet. So how did you develop the formula? I mean, like, what were the prerequisites, or what were the things that were important to include in this formula? It sounds like maybe making it vegan was one of the priorities. What kinds of things did you have to use, or did you have to utilize to make this the way you wanted it?
Well, we looked at it through the lens of what is recovery, and three basic parts of recovery after exercise or racing. One is to rebuild your muscles. One is to replenish your muscles' glycogen stores. And one is to restore your electrolytes. And so each of those three categories has something that you need to do for your recovery drink. And it also turns out, especially for the rebuilding of muscles and the replenishing of glycogen, those two blend with each other and feed off each other.
So what is different about your recovery product than some of the other ones out there? Or it sounds like taste is one of the things that you've done really well. I know that one of the main ingredients is brown rice protein. Can you talk about how you come up with a complete protein? Because all of us know that brown rice, of course, is mostly carbohydrate, but also that whatever protein is in it is not complete.
Sure. I think what sets our product apart is it's the first sports drink to be based on a perfectly complete protein.
And talk about what that means, because that's like protein is not always protein, right? Or there's lots of different versions of protein.
Sure. You know, you've probably heard this idea that some proteins are more complete than others. Mm-hmm. A complete protein, it turns out that for the purposes of rebuilding your muscles, whether that is your muscle fibers, your actin and myosin filaments, or your mitochondria, which is what the endurance athletes use, to rebuild those proteins, only the part of a protein that you've eaten that is complete is used for that. The portion of a protein that is not complete is just wasted. It's not pure waste. That part of the protein is stored as fuel or burned as energy, but it's wasted from the standpoint of not being used to rebuild your muscles. Mm-hmm. And I guess I should say a few things about what it means to be a complete protein. So proteins are made up of building blocks called amino acids, and there are roughly 18 of them. And for the sake of simplicity, we'll say that there are 9 quote-unquote essential amino acids. They're called essential because your body can't make them. The only way to get them is to eat them. They can't be made from other amino acids. Mm-hmm. These 9 essential amino acids have to be present in a protein in certain percentages relative to each other. It's kind of like a recipe for if you're baking a cake, you need so much flour, so much sugar, so much butter. For the essential amino acids, you need so much leucine, so much isoleucine, so much methionine. And if they're all present in just the right proportion relative to each other, then that protein is complete. And it is the complete part of a protein that your body actually uses to make useful things like muscle. You may have heard people say things like vegetarians need to combine rice and beans in order to get a complete protein.
Right.
And what they mean by that is that very few proteins are 100% complete.
Yeah.
For example, the protein in rice has a lacking in some of those 9 essential amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
The protein in beans isn't perfectly complete either. It will lack some of the other essential amino acids. But it lacks different ones than what rice lacks. So if you combine rice and beans together, you get a much more complete protein. It's still not perfectly complete, but it's way more complete and therefore useful to your body than either the protein from rice or beans alone. So you, as a vegetarian, can get much higher quality protein when you combine grains and legumes.
Now, there's something about eating them at the same time, too, or utilizing them at the same time. It's like you can't eat beans in the morning and brown rice at night and have it work together. They have to be taken in at the same time. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely right. Just like baking a cake, if you were going to bake one cake today and one cake tomorrow, you couldn't use just butter and sugar to bake today's cake and flour to bake tomorrow's cake.
Uh-huh.
You know, all those ingredients have to be present together at the same time in order to be useful. And that's exactly how your body works in terms of the essential amino acids in a complete protein. If your body wants to make muscle today, it needs all those 9 ingredients, all those 9 essential amino acids, and it needs them all together in the same amount at the same time in order to be useful.
So I have a question about this recovery stuff, because of course, traditionally, something like a turkey sandwich was one of the things that we all heard about. What you've done is you've taken the thinking out of it, but it also seems to me that it would be much easier to take a recovery drink than to eat a turkey sandwich. Am I right?
I got to tell you, as a pediatrician, I am all about natural, healthy food.
Good.
There are just so many illnesses that you encounter as a doctor that are caused by a poor diet.
Right.
So, you know, I would start with very healthy food, and I'm a big proponent of natural food, and I would define natural food as food that was not created or manufactured or engineered by man.
Right.
So it grows in your garden. You know, you went out and hunted it, fruits and veggies and meat and fish.
How does that relate to the protein, though, that you're talking about? And either the turkey sandwich, which to me seems like at least a lot of it is very processed, the bread, for example, or what else is on it besides the turkey, or your product, the Tailwind Recovery, which is, however it's manufactured, it would lose a lot of its natural. Is that true?
So in terms of carbohydrate for your healthy diet,
yeah,
the less processed it is, the better.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it's very difficult to manufacture or process a carbohydrate without raising its glycemic index, which is kind of a measure of how much like sugar or candy it is.
Yeah, it would be good to go into a little bit of detail on the glycemic index. Just give us a brief summary of what that is, because I don't know if our listeners understand what that's talking about.
Sure. I wonder, should we finish the part on the protein first and then move into carbohydrates?
Okay, we can do that.
So because it's only the complete proteins that help you for muscle rebuilding and muscle recovery, what we did with Tailwind Rebuild is to make a recovery drink that had a perfectly complete protein. So the way we do that is we start it with a rice protein. And the reason that we picked rice protein is that in 20 years of pediatrics, I really encountered 0 rice allergies.
Wow.
rice protein allergy does exist, but at least in our country, it's just vanishingly rare. It's very unusual to have an allergy or an intolerance to rice protein. So what we did is we took rice protein and then with the individual essential amino acids, we buffed the rice protein out to be perfectly complete.
And where did those other amino acids come from?
We buy the individual amino acids, which these days are manufactured. They're easy to buy. Mm-hmm. Because they are actually the individual amino acids, they aren't a manufactured food that takes some sort of health hit from being manufactured. Mm. You know, it's not because when you add arginine and lysine and histidine and tryptophan to something, those individual amino acids, they are the pure thing that your body needs. So there's no health hit from adding individual amino acids like branch chain amino acids or something
to
take product.
Okay.
So what we think is so special about our product is that because it has such a high quality protein, our protein has such a high percentage completeness to it, mm-hmm. it's much more useful to your body than, say, soy protein or whey protein or some of the other usual proteins that most of the other sports drinks use.
Or chocolate milk or something like that, that has some benefits, but it's not as specific as what you're offering.
Correct. I mean, chocolate milk is a reasonable recovery drink. It does a lot of things that are really good. But our product has three times the amount of complete protein that chocolate milk does. So there's more complete protein to actually rebuild your muscles. And there's less waste protein, which has to be processed by your kidneys.
Why is it important to do some kind of a recovery drink? What is important about that?
Well, what you'll find if you use a good recovery drink is that not only will you feel better sooner, you'll be more able to do your next workout sooner and do that next workout well. Mm-hmm. And you'll put more of the work that you've done in the bank, if you will. You know, if you spent an hour doing CrossFit or an hour doing a nice trail run, you want to either rebuild the muscles after that CrossFit section or rebuild your mitochondria after a nice run. And you'll do a better job of that if you take a good recovery product after your workout.
How different would that be than just drinking water at the end of a hard workout?
Water will help you with your hydration, but water isn't going to help you either rebuild your muscles or replenish your body's glycogen.
So there's no nutrition, there's no nourishment in that. It's just hydration benefit.
Correct. And timing is important too. You get a lot more benefit out of taking carbohydrate to replenish your glycogen in the first 30 to 60 minutes after your workout. And you get better and faster muscle rebuilding if you take your protein when your body wants it.
And that is right after a workout or when? When's the best timing?
Certainly for replenishing your glycogen, there is kind of a magic time after your workout. The first 30 to 60 minutes, especially that first 30 minutes after a workout, that's the time to take some carbohydrate in to replenish your glycogen. And there are scientific studies that show that quite clearly. A little harder to prove is the timing of when you want your protein. Mm-hmm. It is probably best to take it right after your workout. Mm-hmm. I think if we're going to get into this, we need to separate endurance exercise from strength exercise a little bit.
Okay.
It's clear from scientific studies that having a complete protein with essential amino acids both after and during your strength workout
is beneficial.
Ah.
It's a little harder to show from a scientific standpoint that timing benefit for rebuilding your muscles after endurance work.
Why is that?
I suspect that is because a lot of the endurance muscle rebuilding is the proteins within your mitochondria, whereas the rebuilding of skeletal muscle after a strength workout, that's the rebuilding of the protein fibers, your actin and myosin and your actual muscle fibers. And it's just a little easier to measure and study.
Wow. So this is great that you have considered these kinds of things. I think a lot of us just aren't even aware that this is something to be taken into consideration in what we're doing, both time-wise and in what we're taking into our body during this period of time immediately following a workout. And I think in general, today's talk is more about endurance types of workouts than strength, but I'm glad you differentiated that. Thank you.
Sure, sure. You know, I have my own little favorite trail run in Durango that I've been doing for years, and I like this little iPhone app called Strava because it maps out your run and keeps track of your time and whatnot. And after we developed Tailwind Rebuild, I started using it after every workout, and mm-hmm. I've had 4 PRs in a row.
Wow.
I'm 56 years old. I shouldn't be getting faster. And, you know, I'm talking with Jeff, who, you know, we developed this together. And yeah. Like, Jeff, we did all the science. This should be something that helps you and makes you faster. So I shouldn't be too surprised. But I don't know. I'm pretty happy with it. I think it does what we designed it to do.
Well, that's amazing, because I know that nutrition, although science is behind nutrition, nutrition itself maybe isn't what we would call a science, because you've got a body that's processing this stuff, you know, and we all process it differently. Plus, it's not like there's just one system that's being impacted by whatever we're doing with nutrition.
It's like you say, it's very complex. And I think we used 2 principles to design our product. One is to base everything off of real science and not some nutritional fad, but also to do what seems natural and appropriate. And I guess one thing I would say about Tailwind Rebuild is that it is specifically a food and not a supplement.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, it's a very scientifically, carefully designed protein, but what we've done is to make a complete protein, mm-hmm. which is actually natural and what the body wants.
Yeah. Well, your story of your own success with it is a really interesting one, and certainly would make it worth people giving it a try and seeing for themselves if it changes some of their results. Now, are you talking about PRs in terms of training runs and going out that way, or are you talking about actual races that you've improved in?
What I just described was my favorite local training run.
That, So you have a baseline there. You know what you've performed in the past, and you can judge pretty well. And you can also then check it out day after day after day to see what might be changing, because we all know that these things are. There's lots of variables. That's terrific. And 56, good for you. I'm past 56, and I have noticed both improvement in some areas and definitely slowing down in some areas. So anything that I can use to test that might improve my performance, I'd love to give it a go.
Yeah, like you say, there's lots of variables. One experience we have had is people who are CrossFitters and do a lot of high intensity workouts to exhaustion.
Right.
Tell us that they'll say things like, "Oh, you know, we've been doing this for years, and now we take your product after it, and they think they feel and notice a performance difference. So I don't know. The product's only been out there for 2 months, so time will tell, but we're pretty excited about
it. Right. Well, I think we're always looking for magic bullets, and truly nothing is going to be a magic bullet per se, but if there are small ways that we can improve and that we feel that something that we can purchase will help us in that direction, I think that's great. So let's talk about, we're going to go back to this glycemic index because this is much more of a general margin or a general way of measuring things. But the glycemic index is a huge part of how we use carbohydrates. And I would like to ask you a couple of questions because I listened to another podcast you were on, and I thought you did a good job of explaining the glycemic index to a certain point. But I also think that you put plants and fruits and everything in one kind of big pot. And I think there needs to be a little differentiation there, or you need to clarify that for me, because the difference in the sugar levels in those carbohydrates is so big. So can we talk about the glycemic index in general, 1 to 100, and then also about fruits and vegetables and how they fit in there?
Yes, absolutely. I guess, and you talked about putting things in different categories. And I think I'd like to start this discussion by mentioning two important different categories, one being the type of food that we eat all day long in order to be healthy people.
Just to survive kind of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think glycemic index is critical for understanding how to have a healthy day-to-day diet. And then I would also like to make the point that the first 30 to 60 minutes after exercise is a metabolically very special time that you need to think of a little bit differently from the rest of your life.
Good. You have talked about low glycemic in general, which I think is fruits and vegetables, if that is the good portion of our daily intake in general. So now we're just talking about anybody who is not specifically training for anything, but maybe is a little bit active, just regular kind of workouts or going out for a walk or that kind of thing. Fruits and vegetables mixed with healthy proteins, those kinds of things, the less processed they are, that with the fruits and vegetables is going to keep us on the lower end of the glycemic index, which has a lot of health benefits. But when we're talking about recovery, then you actually were talking about in this other podcast being at the high end, doing those high glycemic carbohydrates because of the way that they get absorbed and the way the body utilizes them. So talk about that as a recovery, carbohydrates as a recovery product.
Sure, sure. Let's see. First, I guess for our listeners, let's remind everyone what the glycemic index is and what it measures.
Good point.
So glycemic index is, it's a scale, it's a number from 1 to 100 that measures how quickly a carbohydrate or a sugar affects your body. So something with a very high glycemic index, a pure sugar like the sugar glucose or dextrose, that's given a glycemic index of 100. And what that means is if you ate some pure glucose, the glucose that you ate would enter your bloodstream very quickly. Something with a low glycemic index, like Brussels sprouts or kale, they are vegetables that both happen to have a glycemic index of 15. So if you ate 50 grams of Brussels sprout carbohydrate, it would affect your blood sugar much more slowly than 50 grams of, say, table sugar. And the reason that's important for your health is that your body is expecting you to eat natural food. And it just so happens that natural foods have very low glycemic indexes. So that if you eat something that is modern processed food with a higher glycemic index, it affects your body in ways that your body is not expecting. And to understand this, you need to understand about hormones, the hormones insulin and glucagon and epinephrine and cortisol, and how they affect your body. Because when you eat low glycemic index food, it spikes your blood sugar very slowly, and the hormones that control your blood sugar, insulin and glucagon and epinephrine and cortisol, they react very slowly and smoothly to that low glycemic index food. But if you eat something with a very high glycemic index, like, say, a Snickers bar, and you chase it down with a Coke, because your body is not expecting high glycemic index food, food that changes your blood sugar very rapidly, the hormone response to that, the insulin and the cortisol and the adrenaline, you get much more of a roller coaster ride of how those hormones respond to your rapidly changing blood sugar. And that's actually very hard on your body and causes many different health problems.
So I'm hearing you say that in general, we want to stay with the low glycemic, but I also am hearing you say, or I think you're implying that there are times as endurance athletes where we're working out really hard that being at the high end of the glycemic index can work in our favor.
That's correct. So a number of special situations. One would be if you're an athlete and you're bonking, you know, you're 3 hours into your marathon and you've depleted all of your body's glycogen and you are bonking. Most people have heard about that. It's when your body just runs out of energy and starts to shut down and you have trouble thinking clearly. Your run is reduced to a walk. People call it bonking or meeting the man with the hammer or lots of different terms for it. Mm-hmm. And a low glycemic index carbohydrate is not going to bring you back from bonking very well because it takes so long for the carbohydrate that you've just eaten to enter your body and your bloodstream and go where it needs to go.
Gotcha.
That is one of the times where a higher glycemic index carbohydrate will help you.
Mm-hmm.
And another time when a high glycemic index carbohydrate can be useful is in that magic 30 or 60 minutes after working out.
And that is because?
And that is because after a hard workout, when your body is very depleted of its storage form of carbohydrate, which is glycogen, those high glycemic carbohydrates get put back into glycogen more quickly and more efficiently.
So we're not talking about a quick, like a sprint workout where it's or a sprint race where it's a short distance. We're talking about a long duration of what, 60 minutes or longer?
For when you would need a recovery drink.
Right.
And so that would be after something that taxes you and depletes you. So your muscles have been taxed and broken down a little bit, and your body's energy stores have been partially or completely depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep things simple, I would say a strenuous hour or more.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that could be a strength workout, for example, but it would be a long-term kind of a workout, not something that's just a quick in and out, or even just a warm up and then a couple of quick movements, like let's say a quarter mile or something, and then you're done, you finish. Your muscles aren't going to be open to receiving that kind of nutrition recovery at the end.
Correct. But if you've gone on a good run, mm-hmm. you know, 45 minutes or an hour, mm-hmm. or you've just been to a CrossFit session, 45 minutes or an hour, that's enough to really tax your muscles and begin to deplete your body.
Now, how many calories can we actually take in and tolerate? Because again, you know, I know it's a fairly small amount of actual calories that we're taking in when we're doing this recovery stuff?
Yes.
That's a tough question, I realize.
Yeah. I guess one way of answering that is I can tell you that the amount of carbohydrate and calories that we put into Tailwind Rebuild is sort of perfectly tuned to your first 30 minutes.
Okay.
So that if we had put any more in there, it wouldn't be helpful.
Uh-huh.
And if we had put any less in there, it would have been better if we'd put in a little more.
Oh, okay. Wow. You've really worked on trying to make this an optimal product.
It's pretty fine-tuned.
Yeah. It sounds like you're pretty proud of it and also have confidence in both practical as well as the development of it to believe it's a good thing.
Right, right. And I guess, and I would put a little asterisk there. And there may be some listeners who are doing a quote-unquote low-carb approach.
Mm-hmm.
You could be following a ketogenic diet or following a low-carb, high-fat diet or some of these other low-carb diets. And I think it's important to note, again, that the first 30 to 60 minutes after exercise is a very metabolically special time.
Mm.
Your body does very different things with insulin during and after a workout. And I can tell you for the ketogenic diet people, the very serious low-carb, high-fat people, that the carbohydrate in Tailwind Rebuild will not throw you out of ketosis. You can wake up in ketosis, start your workout in ketosis, be in ketosis after your workout, take a Tailwind Rebuild with its 42, 43 grams of carbohydrates, and when taken in that 30-minute window after exercise, that metabolically special time, it will not throw you out of ketosis. And then you go back to your LCHF diet for the rest of the day.
So could you clarify ketosis for the general population out there? I'm sure that those who are in the ketogenic arena already know these terms, but could you clarify that just briefly for us? And you said that you were involved in the ketogenic type of eating right now yourself.
Yeah, I do. I follow a ketogenic diet, and mm-hmm. I test my blood for ketones, so I know what my level is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the reasons I can tell you that living a very low carb lifestyle, then taking a Tailwind Rebuild right after your workout, and then going back to your low carb diet for the rest of the day, that will not throw you out of ketosis or interrupt your low carb lifestyle. And it's because, again, that 30, 60-minute window after exercise is a metabolically very different time from the rest of your day.
If you're working out, it's definitely related to being exercising at a fairly high level over an extended period of time, 60 minutes or more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the reasons that exercise is so good for preventing diabetes and for keeping your insulin sensitivity healthy is that exercise is a very insulin suppressed time. Insulin has two jobs. Insulin tells your body to store carbohydrate. It also tells your body to take up more carbohydrate from your blood. So when you're exercising, you want to take up more energy for your cells, but you don't want to store it. So the way your body does that is it significantly decreases the amount of insulin that you put out during exercise, but it really increases the sensitivity to that insulin.
Wow.
Then when you're done exercising, your body goes back to normal insulin secretion, but that insulin sensitivity lasts for 30 or 60 minutes. That's where this golden hour comes
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why in that time, you can take a high glycemic index carbohydrate and it goes straight to your glycogen. It doesn't mess up other stuff. And that's why you, even if you are a ketogenic diet, low carb, high fat person, that's why you can take some high glycemic index carbohydrate right after your workout and not throw yourself out of ketosis.
And that would be, in fact, beneficial to the overall nutrition program.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I think the short answer, to sort of keep it simple for the low carb and the high carb people, whatever diet you have, be it high carb or low carb, in that 30 minutes after exercise, you can still do a tailwind rebuild with its quote unquote high amount of carbs. And it will give you a better recovery, do more for your muscles, and then you go back to your regular diet, whatever it is, for the rest of your day.
I think we're going to have another podcast episode about this ketogenic way of eating. I know diet is kind of a strange term. And so, you know, this is like a lifestyle way of eating, as I understand it. And of course, with a lot of these things now that are ways of eating, they really aren't diet per se. I mean, the goal is not necessarily to lose weight, but it's a way of eating that enhances our lifestyle.
Would you like me to give 1 or 2 minutes on low-fat and ketogenic diets? Or shall we save that for a different podcast?
Yeah, I think we should save that for a different podcast because I would love to learn more about it. I think we need to go into some more detail on it, more than a couple of minutes, actually. It would be a great topic for lifestyle eating, which is really the way I see ketogenic eating and other styles that people might be involved in. And you seem like a good person to be able to talk about some of these things. Okay, I think we are actually going to change subjects here. If there is some kind of summary that you would like to do with what we've talked about already, I think we're going to have you back to do another ketogenic talk. But let's just kind of summarize what we've talked about today in terms of glycemic index, in terms of this. You've done a great job of the 30 to 60 minute golden hour afterward. Just give us a brief summary of all of the nutrition things that you've talked about today.
Sure. I guess number one would be that to help your body rebuild muscle, you need a complete protein, however it is that you get that. Part of recovering from a very strenuous workout is replenishing your body's energy stores. And there are a number of ways to do that. And then, I guess we haven't really touched on it yet, but you also want to do something to tune up your electrolytes. And those are the three aspects of sport recovery: rebuilding your muscles, replenishing your body's energy, and tuning up your electrolytes.
So I think we need to do a sequel to this. Would you be willing to come back and give us another talk one of these days?
Sure.
Thank you. So we are going to move into the final kick, and you had a chance to review that briefly.
Oh, right. You have 4 questions I think you ask everyone.
I ask everybody, yeah. But the answers have always been really great. So the first question is, what is your favorite local training run? Sounds like you already described one that you really enjoy. So tell us enough that our readers could find it if they come to your city. So where to park, the name of the starting point, how long the terrain, safety issues, etc.
Sure, sure. I mean, Durango is, I think, famous for having so many mountain trails accessible right from in town. So lots of things to choose from if you come to visit us. Lots of great biking and trail running. One of my favorites is called Sailing Hawks, and it starts from the Animas Mountain parking lot. And if you took off from that parking lot, you'd find good trails almost wherever you went. But the particular one that I like is called Sailing Hawks, and it goes by some rock climbing and bouldering areas. But what I love about it is it's just beautiful, rolling, high-quality, interesting trail for the entire run. It's a sort of – it's a little gem.
Wow. Now, is there water or any kind of facilities along the route, or are you pretty much on your own?
Nope, got to bring your own stuff.
Bring your own stuff. And miles marked, any of that kind of stuff, trail marks, is it easy to follow the trails?
There's actually a fair number of options in trails. Mm-hmm. And some of them are pretty strenuous and some of them are more rolling. Mm-hmm. But it's a great place to go running.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for the suggestion. I'm looking forward to taking advantage of some of these suggestions one of these days. Now, what about a running book?
A running book. I've got to give it to Born to Run.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, actually, I think we've had that two or three times as kind of a favorite book. You know, it is such a great, I couldn't put that thing down.
Yeah. I think I read it in a day and a half. Boom, done. And
So fun.
It gets my bite.
Yeah, so much fun. Okay, and any words of wisdom or parting words that you would like to share with our listeners?
Anything worth doing is hard, and don't be afraid of trying something new.
Oh, I like that. So what about some subject that you might like to listen to yourself on our podcast?
Let's see. I think when I read your kick questions, it said, who would you like to hear from on your podcast? And I just thought, you know, without even thinking, I'd like to hear Killian Journay.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he's an amazing ultra runner who just loves mountain and ultra running.
Oh, okay. Is he an American? Is he an African? British?
Let's see. He might be Swiss. I don't know exactly, but I'd love to hear him.
Okay. Killian Journay. Well, that's one that I'll look into and see if I can make any progress on it. So now please give us some contact information, how people can stay in touch with you, the Tailwind Nutrition products, how they can find them. And I hope that you will consider coming back and talking to us about some more specifics of this whole nutrition, such a fascinating field.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Let's see. For Tailwind, you can just go to their website, tailwindnutrition.com. If you had a question for me in particular, you could email me at art.zemach@etherealsoftware.net. So art.zemach@etherealsoftware.net, just like it sounds.
Okay. Well, we are just about at the end of this talk today. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Art Zemach.
Thank you for having me.
As always, you can follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You'll be notified every week when the new episode is published. Art, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure.
And most importantly, thank you, our listening audience. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head on out to your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.